doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and when the rain descended and the floods came and beat upon that house, it stood because it was builded upon a rock. How many knows what the importance is in us hearing and doing? I think there's an important thing there. The five churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, these churches, it said, he that hath an ear, let him what? Hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Now, what is so important about hearing and then doing? It builds. It builds something inside of you. It builds upon a rock. Now, hearing and doing. Now, I'm going to preach on forgetfulness tonight. Forgetfulness. Hearing, how many knows what will make you remember anything more than anything else? If you hear, that doesn't mean that you're going to remember it. But there's one thing about it, if you hear and do, you'll remember that scripture. If you hear it and do it. Now, I've probably forgot more scripture than I know. The reason that maybe just scriptures that didn't go too long and you didn't meditate on them long enough and do them long enough and you kind of forgot it. But there's a lot of scriptures that we need to hear and do. How many knows that? So I'd like to turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, starting there, reading just a verse or two there, and things that we ought to do. You know, folks, it ain't doing anything. That word ought. Ought. I preached a whole message one time down at Donovan on you oughta. You are. You know, people that say you oughta, they oughta, maybe. How many knows that? We ought to. So what does it say here? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest at any time we should let them, what? Slip. And on your side note in your Thompson Chain Bible, it says slip, and it says forgetfulness. In other words, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest that we forget them. So that's important that we hear and do so we don't forget. See, things that we do and keep on doing, we don't forget. But if we don't keep on doing, we forget. Hear and do. That's the cadence in the whole thing. You hear, you do. You hear, you do. Now it says in verse 2, now what is he talking about there? He's not just saying something to not be heard. For if the word, so we hear the word and do what? The word. So whosoever heareth the word, that's his sayings of mine, and heareth them and doeth them. He said, I liken him to a wise man that built his house upon a rock, and when the rain descended and the flood came and beat upon that house, it stood. It stood. So brother asked me tonight, what is the key to standing? When you've done all to stand, what? You stand. So if we make a practice in our life of hearing and what? And doing, then we're standing on the promises of God because we're on the rock. And hearing and the doing part of it makes it where we don't forget it. Now you can go, if you're working on an automobile, you can go and get a manual and you can look at it. But if you've never done that before, it's going to be mighty hard for you to do this because it's the first time of you doing something that you've had a manual there that you can read how to do that. Now this Bible tells us how to do that, but you're the mechanic, so to speak, in this word. And so therefore, if we hear this thing and we do it, it makes us come to a place that we have the keys to what God's word said to do. And if we do it, it's going to help our remembrance. Help me know that. And if you do happen to let something slip, like that mechanics book, you know, you can go to it and say, oh yeah, I remember now. And I can do this with the Bible. I can say, go to that and say, oh yeah, I remember now. I remember now. So we need to rehearse things. How many knows we need to rehearse things? Somebody asked me one day, said, how do you remember all the scriptures you remember? And I thought I'd tell him, how did I forget all them that I forgot? Huh? But how do you remember them all? Well, I had a policy that I done, and it made me remember. Now, it might not work at all for you. It might be something else. But when I first started wanting to remember Scripture, I'd quote it three times, and I'd quote it once for God the Father, once for Jesus Christ the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost. Then I'd hear that, and I'd quote it three times, and I practice that. Now, we got to practice some things. We can't afford to forget what God's Word said. We can't afford not to do what God's Word said to do. We have to do it. He that hath this ear to hear, let him hear, and let him do. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape, verse 3, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Read that again. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? So we need to rehearse things. Rehearse it. I rehearsed those, and I remembered them. Just like Judges, over in Judges chapter 5 and verse 11 said, they that are delivered from the noise of the archers at the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord. Who? They that are delivered from the noise of the archers. How many knows what that meant? How many knows where the bandits hung around, to where they robbed people, stole from them? Where did they go? To the place of water. Because water was a scarce place. And they knew if they stayed there long enough, somebody that had money or somebody that had possessions was going to come by. And when they came by, they was going to rob them. But it says, they that are delivered from the noise of the archers at the places, at the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the what? The righteous acts of the Lord. How many knows that we can't rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord enough? God wants to hear that. You know, a lot of folks said, don't get carried away and get wild with things, and they call clapping your hands. But didn't the scripture say, clap your hands, all you people? Make a what? A joyful noise unto the Lord. So if it says that, we need to rehearse it. We need to clap our hands. We need to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's rehearsing. That's, in other words, that's doing what that scripture said. And it always brings a joy when we do what God's word said. So let's turn our Bibles now to James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let every man be slow, what? Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. The wrath of man will not work the righteousness of God. Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, the engrafted word, what does the word engrafted mean? Somebody tell me. What does the word grafted mean? What does it mean? It's engrafted or grafted into you. Wherefore receive ye the engrafted word, which is supposed to lay apart all filthiness, all superfluity, all naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. What does that word do? Which is able to save your soul. There's concrete evidence right now that our spirit man is born again, and our soul is converted, and our flesh then is controlled. Huh? Our flesh is controlled when our spirit man is born again, when we're born again, and when our soulish man is converted. That's what he's saying here. And receive the engrafted word, which is able to what? save your soul. Now, if it saves my soul, then I need to know more about it, and I need to remember. How many knows what you remember with? Your mind? Don't you remember with your mind? So if you remember with your mind, then how important is it for us to remember this here that we're talking about? Isn't that important? That I remember what I've heard, so I'll have it in my soul. Let's read that again. I don't want to leave anybody out. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. It's engrafted, which is able to save your soul. So our soul is converted. You remember what Jesus told Peter? I've prayed for you that you should keep the faith, but when you're converted, strengthen your brother. So what does that do to you? How many wants to be a strengthening quality to your brother? Everybody should want to be a strengthening quality to your brother. So if you remember these things, your soul is converted, and you've received the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, then you are able to quote and to answer people's questions and things. Sometimes I'll sit for an hour or two with somebody that's hungry. They need to know something. And I'll sit there and I'll give them answer after answer after answer after answer. So that's strengthening your brethren. So we need to not be a what? A forgetful hearer. How many know some folks are forgetful hearers? And the reason they're forgetful hearers is because they don't do what they heard the first time, and they don't keep on doing what they can add to that and add to that. Your experience grows by what you hear and what you do. He that hath an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit has to say to the church. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and what? And doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. He built his house upon a rock, and when the rain descended and the floods came and beat upon that house, it stood because it was builded upon the rock. How did he build it upon the rock? He heard and he done that. And so since when our habits, see, our flesh works by habit. How many know your flesh can be full of habits? Habitual to tobacco, to alcohol, all kinds of different things, you know. Laziness is a habit. You know, we sit around and get lazy and say, well, I don't know what's making me feel so lazy today. I do, because you're lazy. Well, that's the way I am. When I'm feeling that way, I know I'm lazy. I know that I need to do something about it. If I'm not feeling right, I know what to do about it, because I hear what the Word of God has to say and I try to practice. But how many knows that we've got to practice something? How many knows what basketball players practice? They don't practice football, they practice basketball. Doctors practice medicine. Lawyers practice law. Christians should practice the Bible. This is our book. This is what we practice. We don't just preach it, we practice it. Amen. You ever heard the saying? There's always a saying to go and practice what you preach. And that's exactly what we need to do. We need to practice what we preach. But we have to remember what we have preached and what we've learned before we can practice it, because we have to put it in operation. It's called the Acts. In the New Testament, the Acts of the Apostles. It was how the apostles acted upon the word that they had heard, and what they had heard from Jesus, and what they'd read in the Bible, and all these kind of things. They practice what they learn. So, what is he saying here? Therefore, we are to give on the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How many knows we let all kinds of scriptures and things that's very important to us slip right through our mind? Oh, if I could just remember that. Well, we have to put forth the effort to remember that. See, we got to come and know that we recall things that we know. We recall it there. And it comes up before us. But we have to think to recall. I have to think before I can recall something that I already know. I have to think, and then I can recall it. Then I can quote it. Everybody has the same privilege. So if we, what we think, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of the naughtiness of the, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. What's that say? But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. So we got to be doers of the word, and not hearers only. You know, I just wonder how much people remembers of what I'm preaching sometimes. They say, yeah, that's good. That's good. 30 days later, they don't know what's good or bad. They don't remember what I said because they didn't practice it. You put it in practice, you'll remember it. How many knows that? You can't ride a bicycle without you first getting on it and practice. You get overbalanced, you'll have a wreck. You won't know how to guide it. You won't have to stop it. But when you practice it, you gain your balance. Everything begins to come in line when you begin to practice things. We got to practice the Word of God. It's our book of life. But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, James said. Verse 22. For if any man be a hearer of the Word, verse 23, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now listen to what he's saying here. And beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway, what's that word? Forgetteth. He forgets. That preacher preached me under conviction, and he preached something that's real important to me, but I forgot what he said. Huh? I mean, got that. I forgot what he said. I want to tell you something, that the words that comes forth under the anointing at the mouth of the preacher, he said, how can he hear without a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent? The preacher is anointed to do this, and therefore it's for the benefit of the people to remember what has been said from the pulpit, and the greatest way to remember it is hear it and do it. Hello? Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any man heareth the word and not a doer, he is like a natural man beholding in his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, and he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, satisfied evidently. He looks himself over. See, what happens when the preacher's preaching under the anointing and the word of God's going forth under the anointing? It's a glass that we look in and we see ourselves. Oh, yeah, I see what he's talking about. I'll have to change that. And they see it, but what happens here? And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Then he goes his way and he forgets all that. He lost his identification again. Identification. And then it says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let's go through that and again. How many got it? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's the book, that's the life. Jesus is the way, he's the life, he's the truth, but then he's the liberty. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he gets delivered and he continues therein. He being not a forgetful hearer. See, look, I believe we got too much forgetful hearing in the church. How many agree with me on that? Too much forgetful hearing in the church. Now, I believe as Bobby said here a while back, people had nowhere to miss a service, Sunday school or anything else where the word goes forth, because you may never have another opportunity to hear that message again. It may be something that no preacher will ever preach again. You go to this church and they're not preaching that again. So we need to absorb everything that we can while the message is going forward. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. He's looking into perfect law of liberty. He's continueth therein. So he is not a forgetful hearer. Now listen, what else is it? This man shall be blessed in what? Oh, what is his deed? His deed is building the house. His deed is doing what this said. That's my deed. Doing what it says. Of course, I remember it then. Doing what it says. Whoso heareth these sayings and doeth them not, I liken him for the foolish man that built his house on the sand. He didn't do it. He didn't do the deed. See, our deed is to do. Let's look at that again. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer. If he's doing it, he's not a forgetful hearer. But a doer of the work. He's a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. What is his deed? He's a doer of the work. This here Bible is full of works. Huh? It's full of pressing. It's full of pressing our way through. So let's go to the press. Philippians chapter 3. And beginning with verse 9, Paul was a very educated man, and he wrote this book of Philippians. He was a man that was sent forth of the Sanhedrin court, had a high position, but he had to come down to where he could hear what God said and do. And listen what he says about his position. He said in verse 8, "Yea, doubtless I count all things to be lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." All things, you know, he got rid of everything. "All these things I've lost them, and count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." I said, all this other stuff, I just counted it for nothing, lost, "that I may win Christ, and that I may do," in other words, "the righteousness that which is of God by faith." I'm happy doing my deed, in other words. Verse 10, and here's where he wants to be, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death." How many wants to know him like that? Not too many. I hear this word, "I'm blessed." Are we? I'll tell you, when you're blessed, when you get like Paul, "that I may know him, that I may come to the knowledge of the truth." John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." "That I may know him," how? "And the power of his resurrection." Can you imagine the power of his resurrection? Can you imagine that power of him that was laying in the tomb, and the power that was executed that day when the stone was rolled away, when it was a stone half as big as this building right here, about 2 or 3 foot thick, tons it weighed, was rolled over into a place that was curved and it was fitted into, and it would be impossible nearly for anything to move it and get it away from there, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection rolled away that stone that day. The power of his resurrection resurrected him from the grave that he was in. The power of his resurrection caused him to preach and walk through walls and eat honeycombs and fish. He was a glorified body, and he could still walk through the wall, but he could still eat fish. He could eat a honeycomb. The power of his resurrection ascended him on high." He said, "The power of his resurrection set him down at the right hand of the Father. The power of his resurrection gave him all power in heaven and in earth." Can you say amen? And Paul said, "that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." That's where we ought to be, "that I may know him in the power of his resurrection." Paul said that. Here's what he was ready for. "And the fellowship of his suffering." If we're going to fellowship with him, we're going to suffer with him. The Bible teaches us plainly in other scriptures that if we're going to reign with him, we're going to suffer with him. If we're going to rule with him, we're going to hurt with him. That's the part we don't like. Sometimes there'll come something that's going to hurt. It's going to gig. This is not a little game we're playing. This is the real thing. "Being made conformable unto his death." Being made conformable unto it. In other words, Paul is the one too that said, listen what he said there in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present" what? "Your body, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your" what? "Reasonable service." That's just reasonable. We think it's unreasonable that we have to do this and have to do that. But he said, present your body at all times, that you can be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then the verse 2 said, "And be not conformed to this world." This world's the mess. You don't have to do anything. Just turn the TV on, and 1 minute you'll see a mess. And if you leave it on an hour, you'll have at least 59 messes, about one every minute. You can look and see where the world's at. "But that I may know him and the power of his resurrection," that I won't allow that to bother me, but I will allow myself to be filled with the Spirit of God, that I allow myself to be filled with the Word of God, that I may hear and do what he says to do, and not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. This man shall be blessed in his what? That's a scripture right there that needs to be preached all over. Deed, his deed, his deed. You know, our deeds, our work is our deed, our deed. You know, rich man, his deeds were evil. Deeds were evil. Things he done was evil. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Now let's get into the rest of this. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that, if I may apprehend, that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Now verse 13 said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now here's what you're supposed to forget. Practice this one. Forgetting those things which are behind. See, you're supposed to forget something. How many knows when you pass through the pearly gates, there's a sea there somewhere or other? It's called a sea of what? Forgetfulness. That's where you lose all the things that ever bothered you. It'll be put in a sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered anymore. Somebody said, brother told me today, said his little granddaughter said, I don't know what I do if I go get to heaven and my mother won't be there because she's not saved. He said, now what would she do? I said, I'll tell you what she'd do. That's in the sea of forgetfulness. She'll not remember that she had a mother. Old things are gone. Done away with. Passed away means done away with. Got rid of. That's when the real new man will come forth. That's when we'll shine. We'll shine with him. Let's look and see what he says here. Let's go on just a little bit further. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. How many knows what we're supposed to be doing? Forgetting this stuff back here. Don't walk down the street and look at that person and say, I remember what they done to me. No, you don't want to forget that. Huh? That's forgetful stuff. And I remember what they done. No, you're supposed to forget that. And if you can't forget that, I'm quite sure you won't be able to remember the scriptures. Nail that one down. You will not be able to remember yourself as long as you haven't got a clear soul. Your mind is your soul. If you've got a sick soul, you're sick all over. All kinds of those folks over in mental asylums there, they got what? They got a mental disease. Something wrong with their mind. We're supposed to have a healthy mind, a healthy spirit, and it will certainly help us to have a healthy body. Well, now Paul goes on to say here, he says in verse 14, I press towards the mark. Now he said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before. And he said, now I press towards the mark for the prize. How many knows there's a prize out there? I press towards the mark for the prize of what? Of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, forgetting those things that are behind. Forget what happened years ago. Forget all those bad things. Don't meditate upon them. The devil will always try to get you to meditate on something that you don't need to meditate on. But what was you supposed to meditate? We meditate in the law of the Lord how much? Listen, Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of the sinner, or set in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He puts God in everything. I won't even go buy a car unless I put God in it. Now I've had God to really do some strange things with me on car deals. But I don't care how good it sounds. If I don't hear God, okay. We got to hear from God. He that hath an ear, let him hear what? What the Spirit says. Who is the Spirit? God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know, we got these churches now that don't worship God in the Spirit anymore. They just jump around, hop around, and laugh and talk with each other while they're dancing in the Spirit. I don't believe that God's interested in that. He's wanting you to worship him in spirit and in truth. Paul said, I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And he said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching, we got to reach for those things which are before. And now he says, I press. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize. There's a prize of the high calling. There's a high calling. Every one of us probably got some kind of a calling. If it's nothing to do but pray, if it's nothing to do but just support the church spiritually, economically, and every other way, support. That's doing the work. God calls people to do those things. If we do those things, he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, now the word perfect means mature. mature. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now he says here in verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Let us be mature minded. What does it say over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11? Growing up into him, what? In all things, which is the what? Which is the head, even Christ. So we're supposed to grow up in the head. Don't you know a lot of us need to grow up in the head, don't we? They call it in the world, you got your head on wrong. You ain't got your head on straight. No, that ain't what it is. We just ain't growed up in the head. You grow up in the head, you're ready to do something for God. Come on, can you say amen? We need to grow up into the head, which is Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he said he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints, that means the maturity of the saints, perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, the perfecting of the saints, till we all come in the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. I don't think any of us are yet. Knowledge of the Son of God, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But we grow up in the head, which is Christ. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal it even to you. Now, isn't that a good promise? If I ain't there yet, God reveals it to me. Say, you ain't there yet. You ever have God tap you on the shoulder spiritually and say, you just think you're there. You're not there yet. You're not near as big as you think you are. I have God do that lots of times to me. Boy, there's another step, huh? Sometimes we even get tired. We've done this much, you know, we get tired. We say, boy, I just can't let God get up and go. I don't know about Ananias in the 9th chapter of the book of the Acts, but he might have been asleep somewhere in the night when Paul was at the street called Straight praying and had gotten saved, I guess, because when he walks in, he says, Brother Saul. But maybe he was asleep. And God said, now, get up, Ananias, and go to the street called Straight. How many of us are available? There's a thought that we need to have. We need to all be available to God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. At his call, we need to be available. When we start practicing that, you're going to find there's a whole lot of people that need you out there. I'm serious. They need you. People need you. They need your prayer. They need what you've got, if you've got the right thing, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And we'll quit with reading that text again, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Have we really give heed to the things that we've heard? You know, sometimes I'll sit down and think, wait a minute here. I didn't give heed to that. I got to do something. I heard the voice say that. See, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say. You see, we hear what everybody's got to say, but we don't hear what the Spirit has got to say. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? We need to grow up in the head, into his head. Then if we've got his head, how many knows what Philippians 2 and 5 said? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That'll be what's in our head. See, he's not going to put his mind in our head until our head gets growed up into his head. Growing up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, the head, the headship, the maturity of the thing. You know, a lot of folks have just got far enough with God where they're kind of playing games with God. That's where a lot of folks are. I'm not being critical. I'm just being honest with you. So many people, you know, it's not what we do. It's what he does. It's him that's doing it. If we're doing it right, if we're doing our life right. Praise God. All right.